This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top stories of the day. I was thinking it was going to be something else, but it's not. I just pulled this story up, Mike. The worst 10... college football teams, FBS college football teams, bottom 10. Did you think CSU was going to be there?
I mean, after this game, yes. But are you talking about the beginning of the season?
No, just overall, like today, based on what we've seen this season.
Yes.
They're not on here.
Oh, that's good.
They are not on here. Are they on the waiting list? So they got like... So the bottom 10, sorry, Big Hub, Sam Houston, we have a problem. That's what they said. UMass, UCLA, Bruins, Oregon. This is right up your freaking alley, Mike. Did you write this crap? Oregon Trail State, you have died of dysentery. We are back in the coveted fifth spot is Penn State. No pokes for OSU. San Jose State. Did you write this? This is
no,
right.
But I want to read the article now.
Northern Illinois, Arkansas State, and the mental state of Arkansas. Charlotte 1 and 3 years. That's number 1 through 10. The list, the waiting list. State of Kent. They just have all the... They just keep going with this. Muddled Tennessee State.
I would have said, can't do it.
The Rams are in the waiting list. Colorado State. That's what they say. Colorado.
No, don't do that. State. Colorado.
Well, duh. How do you spell dope?
E apostrophe O-H.
No, they did duh.
Colorado. They,
Nevada. Stan fired. Miami of Ohio. South Alabama redundancies. Give me Liberty or give me 1 and 4. Okay, some of these aren't bad.
That's my favorite.
Baller State. A college football world without Sam Pittman in it. So the Rams are on the waiting list for the worst bottom 10 in all of college football. If they lose to Santiago State Friday night, will they crack that list? I guess it depends on what the rest of the teams do. This is interesting. ESPN released the story about Bill Schmidt, and they say Rockies dismiss Bill Schmidt after the 119 loss season. What we got in the press release from the Rockies was that Bill Schmidt stepped down.
Maybe they have a different source.
It's very interesting. Could be.
Or maybe they're assuming.
Who knows? Who knows? The Browns made a decision. They're benching Joe Flacco. They will go to Dylan Gabriel. Shedeur Sanders would have played this weekend for Baltimore if he would have went to Baltimore. You realize that? Now he's going to be still back up to Dylan Gabriel. Pressure's on Gabriel because as soon as he struggles, boom, they'll go. They'll finally go with Shedeur.
Yeah, first incomplete pass, they're going to use Shedeur.
Or do you go back to Joe Flacco? Like, because I would imagine Joe Flacco's number 2. He's the backup now. They're benching Joe Flacco. They have Dylan Gabriel there. Flacco will serve as Cleveland's backup. Shedeur Sanders will remain the third-string quarterback.
I am rooting for Dylan Gabriel so hard. Like, I want him to have, like, 300 yards and 6 touchdowns.
You don't like, you're not a Shedeur Sanders fan?
I just, like, I want Shedeur to, like, learn the air. Well, he never will, but, like, I really want to rub his nose in it. Just be like, oh, you made a dumb decision. Congratulations.
Do you think he should have went to Baltimore or Philadelphia? Because those were the rumored, well, not rumored. Those teams actually were going to draft him until he basically said, I'm good. I don't want to go there.
Because I want to go to a crap team.
I don't want to. I want to play. I mean, I'm trying to be logical here, Mike. It's what we do on the whole show. I don't blame him, kind of. But I also look at the two teams that wanted him, and I think, man, with Jalen Hurts pushing, doing the push so much, and the way Lamar Jackson plays, you're going to have a chance, probably, to come in and play. And then do the Matt Flynn thing like you and I talked about on Monday's show.
Yeah, well, you're right. Lamar Jackson got hurt, and Jalen, he's been hurt before.
Yeah.
So, why are you looking at me like that?
It's just too easy. You're not challenging yourself. You know? And that's scary to me.
I know, but I had to go with the low-hanging fruit.
Uh-huh.
Too bad we don't have Jake Butt here anymore.
Yeah, that's too bad. See what you do, though? Like, you just derail it. I'm on a thing here. I'm going. Instead of jumping in with something to actually give to the show, you have to throw out your stupid little, oh, Jalen Hurts, he's been Hurts before. And then now we don't have a conversation going. You see what you did? You ever play Duck Hunt, that game Duck Hunt?
Oh, yeah.
You're the gun, and the show is all the little duckies flying around. And you're just blasting them out of the sky.
But that's the point of the game. So you're saying the point of me is to derail the show.
I guess. I'm not sure what the point of you is. I'm not sure. I've asked you before. What are you? Why are you? And you don't seem to have a real answer for me. What are you?
I am the greatest.
Can I ask you a nerd question?
Yeah, sure.
Is Avatar going to be any good?
I haven't seen any of the Avatar movies.
You haven't seen any of them?
No.
What?
I get the gist of the movie. Native Americans good, military who loves oil bad, and recycle.
The first one was pretty good. But it was definitely the and I got the Dances with Wolves vibe from it. Like, the guy's in the military, he ends up getting left behind, and he turns into an avatar or whatever, and then he stays in their tribe and then kind of becomes one of them and goes against his military and all that stuff. That's what I got from it. The second one, I don't even remember what happened. I wore the 3D glasses, and I was too busy trying not to get a headache. And they're making, like, two more of these things?
I believe they're making 5.
I'm really shocked you haven't seen this stuff. Like, this is where this is your little world.
Yeah, but when they're trying to make me feel guilty about, you know,
it's too,
like,
political? Is it,
yeah,
too political,
like,
for you?
I could tell immediately. I'm like, oh, this is going to be one of those preachy movies wrapped in a sci-fi story. And I just,
Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to bring you in on that because I thought maybe we could try to get the show back on track, give you something that you like, but you don't even like.
Well, Shedeur is like the Avatar people. Well, I don't know. I was trying to do something, but then I realized I didn't watch the movie. Shedeur's like Fern Gully. He's a magical creature.
It's an underrated.
Who's
a fairy.
Trying to save his career.
She's a fairy. She's a fairy in the garden, in the jungle.
Fern I saw Gully. That when I was a kid, and that
it's
was a dumb movie.
No, well, yeah. If you watched it at an older age, as a kid, I wasn't thinking of, oh, they're destroying the trees and killing all the fairies. I didn't think of that stuff.
When I saw it as a kid, I mean, I was probably older than you, but I was like, wow, this is really bad.
I thought it was good.
You're laying it on thick.
The oil monster thing was pretty freaky, though. whatever the hell that was. That was scary. Not a lot of people know about that movie, Mike. Robin Williams voiced the fruit bat in that movie. Did you know that?
I don't remember the fruit bat.
The fruit bat was the best part of the movie. He's the best part of the movie.
Well, that's because it's Robin Williams, and he's great at everything, yeah. Including being the very first male cheerleader in the NFL. Mork wanted to be a cheerleader, so Mork dressed up as a Broncos cheerleader, and he got all embarrassed. Mork from Mork and Mindy.
Uh-huh.
He was running around in Mile High Stadium, the actual glorious
I know the story. I just wanted you to really drive it home. I wanted to give you that opportunity too, and it didn't seem like you were hesitant to do that. Like maybe you thought you had a secret that nobody else had, so you were gonna pull off the timing of delivering that.
No, my timing's always wrong. My timing's always bad.
Yes,
I admit it.
It is bad. I don't even know what we were talking about.
Shedeur Sanders made a bad decision. Something about Jalen getting hurt.
I don't know that he did make a bad decision. I don't know that. I just know that if he would have made the decision to go to Baltimore, he'd probably be playing this weekend. Instead, he is still the third string quarterback. That's the problem. Like people that are Shedeur fans are like, oh, well, as soon as they miss on Flacco, which they will, Dylan Gabriel will be up, and then they'll miss on him, and then they'll go to Shedeur. Not necessarily. Joe Flacco will be the number two. And that's the plan they'll go with. 16 minutes after the hour, Cody Tucker's going to join me. The Wyoming Cowboys looking to get rolling. They were off last week, so they got to take a, you know, they had their bye week and everything coming off of that Buffs loss. Now they look to turn the page as they get set to take on. It's UNLV, right? They got you. I think, did I say Nevada before? It's UNLV. I don't know why I said Nevada. I mean, similar, but
maybe you wanted a guarantee win.
The Cowboys are only 3.5-point dogs. Interesting. Let's talk to Cody about it. 7220sports.com. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Ryan Gary, Tanner Schwint. Good Morning NoCo is on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I just want to, I can't let false information, I overheard your conversation back there, and I need to let Cody know. Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. Half the staff thought Washington State was going to win over the weekend. Cody, Michael is a compulsive liar, and I apologize for his behavior.
Talking about the morning show people.
But you said you were one of the only ones in the building. I'm one. I'm in the building right now, and Tanner's also in the building. That's three of the people that are in this building. Sorry,
Brady,
sorry to bring you into this family squabble, but I just can't let this go unnoticed.
If it makes you feel better, I thought Washington State was going to win, too.
I mean, it's I looked, Cody, today, and I'm sure you don't hate this, but ESPN put out their bottom 10 list. CSU's not on it, but they're on the so-called waiting list. I think if they lose Friday night, they might crack that code.
I think they would be literally the worst team in FBS if they would have actually lost that game to Northern Colorado.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right, and they're right. Cody, you've covered football for a long time, and I've said this about what's going on with CSU. I know we're here to talk Wyoming, but I'm sure you can go here with me because it's negative. Anytime you got to bench the quarterback, and then a week later you're saying somebody else is calling plays, that is typically not a recipe for success.
Yeah, rough sledding down there for sure. Not a lot of tears shed up here for sure for CSU. But, whatever it is, you know, I just think back to when Jay Norvell got hired, and God bless him, he's a great human being. You thought, oh boy, you know, all the wide receivers this program has produced, they are going to air it out, and this air raid thing is going to be scary. And you also thought, man, Norvell had so much success in Reno, a program that is just not well funded and not, you know, doesn't have half the resources Colorado State does. Man, this might be a kind of a home run hire for CSU. And now it kind of seems like it's on life support.
Yeah, well, and last year, you know, that can be that fool's gold sometimes. You know, they won eight games, but we also looked at it. The schedule was very interesting. There were a lot of new coaches in the conference. They didn't have Boise State or UNLV on their schedule. They caught Air Force in a really down year. They catch Wyoming in Jay Sovell's first year. And you took advantage of it. Good for you. But that kind of, I think, set up some false hope for this, you know, throughout the offseason.
Yeah, interesting is a really nice way to put a really easy schedule. And we saw that, too, right off the bat. And you know, good for them. You can only play who's in front of you, and they took care of business. So, you know, not taken away from it, but yeah, I mean, it was a light schedule to say the least. And you know, I think you look at Wyoming's schedule this year, and immediately you see that Boise State's not on it, which is a huge bonus. But you also two teams you might not want to run into this year: New Mexico and Utah State. They're also not on it.
Right.
So, who would have ever thought you'd be saying something like that? But it's pretty true at this point.
Yeah, no question. Cody Tucker joining us from 7220sports.com. The Cowboys were off last weekend, getting set to take on UNLV. Now, Cody, they're 4-0, but they beat Idaho State in a close game, Sam Houston, UCLA, and then Miami, Ohio. So that's kind of one of those, okay, they're 4-0, they took advantage of a weird schedule. How good are they?
Great question. I mean, that's something we've been mulling over all week here is, you know, the three FBS teams they've knocked off are a combined 1-11. And the one win was Miami of Ohio taking care of business against Lindenwood last week, of course, an FCS team. So, yeah, I mean, you look at the FBS stats and you can find every team that UNLV's played on page 3, which is the last page. The defenses they've faced have been really bad. The offenses they've faced have been really bad. Obviously, UCLA has already gone through a head coach. They're on interim status. And really, Idaho State, an FCS team that has two wins this year, you know, gave them hell in that opener in Allegiant Stadium. They threw the ball all over the yard and did whatever they want. But Miami of Ohio's got to be kicking themselves. They had 14-point leads three times in that game against UNLV. They had a kick return for a touchdown, a pick six. They should have taken care of business. In fact, I'm pretty embarrassed to admit, though I did have some matters to do down in Boulder that night, but I turned the game off after Miami picked six of them. I thought, oh, wow, they're getting blasted in Miami. Mm-hmm. They came back and won. So, once again, kind of like CSU last year, you got to give them credit, man. They're finding ways to win. And that program has 60 new guys and a new coaching staff. And their offense is humming, man. They're averaging almost 40 points a game. But on the defensive side of the ball, they've been opportunistic, man. They picked off 10 passes already this year, or 8 passes, and forced 2 fumbles. And, they're a plus 6 in the turnover margin, and that's probably saving their bacon a little bit. But they're giving up almost 450 yards a game, and they're getting gashed through the air. And that's obviously where Wyoming struggled. And you hope this week off they kind of found their identity, and Caden Anderson starts making some connections here, because if you're ever going to get right, it seems like this would be the week to do it at home on homecoming.
Yeah, that's just what I was going to ask you. You know, if this is that week where the pressure's kind of on, because, you know, it's early. The Cowboys can still make a lot out of this season, but if they just have to get some of that. I mean, again, that Utah game was so close. If they can just get some output, and earlier in that CU game, if they got some output on the offensive side, who knows? Maybe we're talking a different story, or at least a closer game there. But if you can start to see that click against UNLV, who can give up some yards, then maybe you're feeling really good about, you know, you got San Jose State next, Air Force defense, not very good so far, Colorado State. I mean, suddenly, Wyoming could go on a run here, Cody.
You're right. Yeah, it's a big game. And you know, best case scenario here, everybody griping, and, you know, rightfully so to some degree, about that 7-minute drive in Boulder in the fourth quarter. You hope that, you know, maybe springboarded them a little bit into the bye week, and maybe they found something there. They found some rhythm. They really they were good in the passing game, good in the running game. That, aside from a delay of game penalty, that drive looked right in every way. The ball got spread out. Samuel Harris was doing his thing. Caden Anderson looked in full control there, and he was taking what CU's defense was giving him, and they marched right down the field. So, obviously, at the time, Wyoming fans are hoping that goes a hell of a lot faster, and, you know, they still have a shot in that game. But, you know, worst-case scenario, I hope it translated. So, it looked right. It looked good, and maybe that's the secret, is to start huddling up, start taking your time a little bit, see what the defense is giving you, and make those plays.
Cody Tucker joining us, 7220sports.com. Cody, how about injury updates for us? You know, specifically curious about John Michael Gillenborg.
Yeah, apparently he's good to go. I mean, if you think about it, he's missed the last seven quarters, and then they had a bye week. And, you know, it's kind of one of those nagging thigh bruise type of injuries. Saw him in the parking lot in Laramie on Monday. He looked fine. Coach didn't say anything about him not playing. The big loss this week is Nate Geiger, and we kind of figured by what Coach said a couple weeks ago that it wasn't going to be good. He gave up a sack on the first play of the second quarter in Boulder and kind of got wiped out. And unfortunately, I mean, this is the same guy, left tackle, sophomore, tore his knee all to hell 10 plays into the Arizona State game in the opener last year. Same thing happens this year. He just tore everything again. So, you know, Nate Geiger's got a long road ahead, but, you know, this is going to kind of throw some things for a loop. Jake Davies struggled mightily at left tackle last year. He gave up 7 sacks and I want to say like 54 pressures. And he was a guy who had no experience. So that's a tough spot to be thrown in to be protecting Anderson's blind side. But, you know, they don't want to do it. But if they have to, they can move Rex Johnson over there. They can put Caden Barnett back on the outside, though they really like him at guard and they really like what he's been doing. But Jake Davies is going to get the assignment again. And, you know, when Jake came in last week, he gave up that safety, or 2 weeks ago, he gave up that safety to Colorado. And if you don't have that safety and the Cowboys go on that seven minute drive they went on, I mean, you're talking that's going to be a one possession game. They'd only be down 8 instead of 10. So that was a big moment in that game, turns out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, they have some options, but you know, it always hurts because you want to be 8-9, you know, best case scenario 10 deep on the offensive line, and right now they're probably around 7.
Yeah, and it's tough, but man, what's so impressive about that too, Cody, is their ability to still run the ball like crazy. And you talked about this guy a lot, but the emergence of Samuel Harris and what he's been able to do has been so encouraging. So they're still finding a ways to get some production there.
Yeah, I mean, it's always amazed me, Brady, like even under Craig Bohl, they've never been able to throw with any consistency post-Josh Allen, yet they've always still been able to run, even though the defense knows damn well what's coming. And it's always been shocking to me that Wyoming hasn't been able to pull the, you know, a la late 90s Broncos stuff where you're handing the ball to Terrell Davis and all kinds of things are opening up downfield. And they just have not been able to take advantage of that and get that working in their favor. So, Caden Anderson will be starting what I think is 7th, or he started like 7 career games. I mean, everybody wants it right now, and I get it. But, you know, the kid's still young. He hasn't played a full season. You know, he had 2 torn ACLs in high school. You know, the guy hasn't played football in a long time. So, you know, I know it's hard, and people hate hearing excuses. And, you know, we see other quarterbacks that are humming after a couple career starts or even in their first career start. But, you know, he's a young kid, and he hasn't played the game of football in a long, long time. So I think he needs to get in a little groove. And I think we've talked about it before, but I think with so many moving parts and so many transfers, I don't know if you're going to know the identities of a lot of teams till after non-conference season wraps up anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's, you know, one thing I've learned this year, especially watching, you know, following the teams that we follow, is quarterback is difficult, apparently, because we've had so many issues. You know, CU's had their issues. CSU's certainly had their issues. Whether it's injury, confidence, whatever, there's been a lot.
Yeah, I mean, Caden Salter had his coming out party against Wyoming, but it's hard to believe that guy wasn't the starter all along the way he played against Wyoming that night. And that's a good Wyoming defense. And he lit it up through the air, on the ground. He did whatever he wanted. So, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I'm sure CSU fans, you know, thought that a couple of years ago BFN was going to be the man. And, wow, we might have this guy for 2-3 years. And, wow, this guy was courted by Kansas State, and he decided to stay here. And I think they, you know, you love that, and you're encouraged by that. But, man, it can change in a hurry. It's the hardest position in sports. It's the most important position in sports. And that's why, you know, Jay Sawbell gets a lot of crap for the way last year went. But tell you what, man, when things aren't working out for the guy under center, like what happened in Laramie last year with Evan Sobota, you're behind the eight ball big time right off the bat.
So, Cody, how do you think this one's going down? The Cowboys, I mean, the spread is, oh, it's been kind of floating around, but right now the Cowboys are 3.5-point dogs in this game.
I honestly think the Cowboys win this one. It's a huge game, and it could rain also on Saturday night in Laramie, which, you know, just going to add to it. But I could see this being, you know, kind of a fireworks show a little bit. UNLV's offense is incredible. I could also see this being Jet Thomas versus Samuel Tote Harris. You know the running backs are awesome when they both have nicknames. So it could be a lot of fun to watch this. But I don't believe in UNLV's defense whatsoever. And I believe that Wyoming's offense just hasn't fully clicked yet. You know, we need a Jalen Sargent sighting here. You need John Michael Gillenborg to live up to the preseason hype. If they do that and add Chris Durham to the mix, along with a few other names, I mean, this offense could really get going. So, like we said, there's no better time to get going than against a defense like this. And the question is, can you stop and force some turnovers? Anthony Calandria is a really good quarterback, and he is, once again, a dual-threat guy, and those guys have given Wyoming absolute fits. Look no further than Devin Dampier and Caden Salter. So, can they corral that guy? Can they make some plays, and can they create some turnovers? Other than that, I think the Cowboys win this game, get some home cooking. You know, it's tough to beat Wyoming here, as UNLV knows. They haven't won here in 6 tries, so time to take care of business if you're the Wyoming Cowboys.
Yeah, and then it sets up for, you know, it might be a pretty good stretch for Wyoming coming up. Yeah. Cody, appreciate it, man. What are you working on at 7220sports.com that we can check out?
Oh, boy, all kinds of stuff. Got a feature out today about Samuel Tote Harris. In fact, what a great kid, man. I strongly encourage people to check that out. You know, he had Washington and Arizona and you know, a lot of big programs on him until he tore his ACL, and that phone quit ringing, and the only one that kept coming was a 307 area code, and that's why he's in Wyoming today. So really special back, and comes from a military family, and there's a really cool link to a video in there. He was part of one of those deals where his mom was in active duty, and she was overseas, and she came home and surprised him during a high school practice about three years ago to this date. So good stuff, good kid. He has a very, very bright future.
Well, I'll check that out for sure. That sounds interesting, man. I love that, you know, the game coverage you give us, but also that insight on these players, you know, their backgrounds and everything, too. I think it's special, man. So keep up the great work, as always, and we'll see if the Cowboys can get to that third win, started off with a bang in this Mountain West Conference, and beating the Rebels this weekend.
Absolutely, my friend. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a good one. And thanks for having me on, as always.
All right, man. Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. 12:37 the time, Michael. We'll jump out, take a quick break. Sean Payton. We got our Diamond Valley Collectibles and Windsor trivia question coming up. Just know it's something about Sean Payton and records. Sean Payton and records. That's your hint today. No?
Mm-mm. No what?
I know what you're going to do.
What am I going to do?
You're going to say something about records, like musical records. That's where your brain was going.
No, I wasn't going to do that.
I've been around you too long now. I know where you're going before you go there, and it's a little disturbing to me.
I was going to say his first comedy record wasn't great, but his second one was fantastic.
Should've won a Grammy. 37 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place. After you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Bring it.
Is there any reason for this one, or
I don't know?
Is this Welcome to Miami?
No, this is Getting Jiggy with It.
Oh, okay. What do you think of Will Smith as a singer? Did you like his stuff? Did you like that stuff?
The hippity hoppity rappity.
Yeah.
No.
Why'd you play it?
I don't know. I mean, I like some of the music that he samples.
Yeah.
I just don't like his rappity version.
Have you seen his stuff lately? He's kind of
just doing, he does rap stuff lately.
Just kind of like hanging out. Like it's not like a full on video, music video or anything, but it's interesting.
Isn't he Scientologist or something?
I don't know.
I feel like he's got some of that Scientology stuff going on.
He slapped Chris Rock, and since then it's been a weird go for that guy. He was like the biggest celebrity for a long time, and then that moment kind of ruined it for him.
I blame his wife. She's kind of crazy, although she does have a metal band.
Didn't she bring him on for, like, they did a roundtable interview basically to tell him that she was cheating on him and stuff? Like, that's just...
Yeah, with, like, her kid, her son's, like, best friend or something.
Weird. And you wonder why. That's all. Lemons Heating and Cooling, they'll take care of your heater for you guys. I know the weather is pretty nice. It's going to be nice this week, but then this weekend, our guy, Cody Wilson, saying that cold front's coming in. I want to make sure that heater's rolling because we're going to start getting into those cooler and colder nights. Maybe we're having issues with that. Lemons Heating and Cooling will take care of you. HVAC contractor here in Greeley. But take it from me. They'll service most of northern Colorado. I was in Timnath, and they took care of me there. Lemons Heating and Cooling. Check them out online. LemonsHeatingandCooling.com. Michael, let's do it. We're going to register somebody for a $20 gift certificate to Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. They got it all. Sports memorabilia, sports cards, Pokemon cards, Funko Pops, Legos. They got it, man. They got it. Here it is. Very simple. You've probably already heard a lot of talk about this. Sean Payton, kind of known for slow starts in September, dating back to 2006. That was his first year as head coach. I'm not going to ask you to give me the record. All I'm going to ask is his record in September over 500 or under 500? Does he have a winning record in September or a losing record in September in his career as a head coach? The First Advantage hotline is 970-353-1310. That's 970-353-1310. Does Sean Payton have a winning record or a losing record? Or is he 500? I guess you could say that too. I might have given that away. Over or under 500? Sean Payton, 970-353-1310. Get it right, and you're entered for the $20 gift certificate that we're giving away on Friday. And then, if you win that, you're entered in the $100 gift certificate and a signed jersey from Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. Visit them online at diamondvalleycollectibles.com. See what I'm talking about. You guys got to try this store. It's awesome. We're getting into creeping into the holiday mode, too, so get in there now because they start moving product fast right about now. So there's the question. Does Sean Payton have a winning or losing record in September as a career head coach? 12:46 the time. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll take a short break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Fall is nearly here, and that means football is on KFKA. Preps, college, pros, and the Broncos. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
All right, the answer was over a 500 record. Congratulations to Jeff, who got that right. You're entered in the sweepstakes now for the $20 gift certificate at Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. So he's 32-30 in September, Mike. That's around a little over a 500 record percent winning percentage. In October and November, his combined record in those months is a whopping 99-44, which is about a, what, .692 winning percentage.
Imagine what all these wins are going to do for his percentage.
Well, I mean, if you're thinking of upsets and all that stuff, if there was a time to pull it off against the Philadelphia Eagles, playing them in the first week of October might make sense. Why is it that Sean Payton is not so great in September, but the rest of those months. I mean, is it the old cliche? You want to be playing your best football in November and all that kind of stuff? I don't know. Is it he takes that first month to really just evaluate everything and experiment?
Preseason, part two.
Maybe September is like a preseason for Sean Payton. And they finished 2-2, so it kind of stayed pretty true to how he is in the months of September, going all the way back to 2006. I mean, I was reading an article at the beginning of the season that said, yeah, he'll probably go 2-2 in October, and he did. It's weird, because it felt like they were going to, at one point, it almost felt like they had the Colts on the ropes, the Chargers on the ropes, and we kind of know how those games went down. So it's a tough battle. You know, for, again, going up against Philadelphia, and we'll get into some more specifics on that, but Philadelphia is the real deal. Obviously, you know that because of what they did last year. They're not even running the ball particularly well. That was what carried them a lot last year with Saquon Barkley. It's been the passing game. It's been the two kind of three-headed monster with those receivers and tight end and Dallas Goedert. So for the Broncos in October, Eagles, Jets, Giants, and Cowboys. At the beginning of the season, I would have said 3-1. It's changed a little bit. Eagles are going to be tough. Jets, I still think. Jets aren't good. They're just better than I thought they were going to be. Giants, I mean, they beat the Chargers. What do you make of that? Cowboys put up 40 against Green Bay, ended in a tie. So October is certainly going to be a challenge. The bigger challenge here for Denver is as they try to establish themselves as like kind of a contender, is can you beat a team that's good? Can you beat a playoff team? Because so far, they beat two of the worst teams in the league, Tennessee and a Joe Burrow-less Cincinnati Bengals. Chargers and Colts might very well be playoff teams. And obviously Denver dropped those. So beating the Eagles would be the ultimate, obviously. But, you know, we'll find out. That's certainly going to be a tough one. Obviously, Sean Payton's talking about the tush push, too. And we'll get into some of that on the other side. Sean Keeler from the Denver Post will join me as well. And we're doing something new. We're just doing stock watch now. Not buy or sell. Stock watch on the teams that we care about on the whole show. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.